Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And those two songs that we just sang go hand in hand. And praise the Lord. Talk about heaven and talk about going to the Lord. And, you know, we all go through things, don't we? It's a blessing to know that we can go to the Lord. And even if our closest friend doesn't answer the phone, or is not home, or whatever it may be, we know the Lord's always there. And praise the Lord for that. Philippians chapter 2, if you will. And we're going to be looking at verse 13. Philippians 2 and verse 13. Notice there at the top of your handout, it says, biblical disciples are consciously prepared. Here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, notice the Bible says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Notice verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, each and every one of us, we are here for a purpose, and that purpose is to follow God's will for our lives. And if we do that, then we're not going to wind up in a mess. However, if we follow our own will, we're going to wind up in a mess. It's that plain and simple. And all of us, as we're going to discuss tonight, we are being consciously prepared as well. And there's some things that we must do. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this night. I do thank you for your word. And Lord, I do thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to trust you as my personal Savior, and for each and every one of us having that opportunity, Lord. If there's anyone here that is not saved, I pray they'd take advantage of that opportunity tonight and that they would trust you as their personal Savior, Lord, before it's too late. Lord, help us as we go through this message tonight to see exactly what we need to do, some steps that we need to take. And Lord, I pray that through the Holy Spirit's power, we would do these things and that we would become biblical disciples, Lord, following you and reaching others. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. Well, here over the last several weeks, we've been discussing the topic of biblical discipleship. And as we've been talking about that, if you recall, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed the unconscious preparation of a biblical disciple. And what we had discussed is some things that have happened throughout our lives that we may not have known what the Lord was doing at that point. Maybe we've gone through some things, and to this day, we don't know why the Lord took us through those things. But either way, God had us go through things for a certain reason. There are no accidents. There's no mistakes in God's way. So we talked about that, how we can go through things and the Lord can use our past experiences to help further us in our walk with Him, to be able to reach other people, to be to have an impact on people, be a witness to people because of what we've went through. Experiences have prepared us for situations that we are facing today or situations that we will face in the future. Now, the Lord knows what we need. The Lord knows when we need it. Now, we oftentimes, and I can speak for myself here, I think I know what I need. I think I know when I need it. And if I try to force those things, then, well, that's when we get ourselves in trouble. We need to follow the Lord's will, follow His guidance, and know that He is all-knowing, and know that He prepares us for the work that He needs us to do. So that was the subconscious preparation, if you will. But tonight, I want to take it a step further and discuss the conscious preparation. There are some things that we as believers must be doing. Now, the Lord can work through these things as well, and He will, but we cannot allow ourselves to think, well, if everything that I do is just subconscious preparation, then I'm just going to take it for what it is. Well, we need to trust the Lord through all things, be content in every state that we're in, but also know that there are some things that we need to abide by. There are some rules that we need to follow. There are some commands in God's word that have been put here, not just to make us feel better, but they're put here because this is what God intends us to do with our lives. So that conscious preparation is something that we all must take part in. We must participate in these things. And these are things that are going to take some work. They're going to take some willpower. But we can do these things if we do them in the power of the Holy Spirit. So conscious preparation. I think all of us would agree that no matter what we desire to do, there's some preparation involved in that. If it's an assignment in school, a project at work, even a vacation that's coming, there's some preparation that's involved. We know that this is something that needs to be done. Therefore, these are steps that I need to take. Now, the age-old, I don't know if it's a joke because it's more like a true story, is this, that the when it comes to a vacation, the wife is trying to get everything packed and all of that, and about 5 minutes before vacation, the husband says, okay, I'll throw everything in this bag and I hope I have enough. Amen. Not much preparation goes in oftentimes when it comes to packing on the husband's side. Praise the Lord for our wives. Amen. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what we do, there's preparation involved. There's things that we know needs to be done or else it's not going to come together like it's supposed to. Things do not just magically come together. There are some steps that must be taken. However, many people say they desire to follow the Lord, but they do not take the necessary steps. Some say things like this, well, I want my children to follow the Lord, but then they allow their children to decide whether or not they're going to obey the Word of God or whether or not they're going to go to church or be involved in church and those things. It shouldn't be that way. As parents, understand this, we have a few short years that the Lord has given us, and we must take advantage of that time. It's not going to come by accident. And the same is true with our personal walk with Christ. How close we draw to Christ will not come by some accident. There has never been a person that has been just going through life and stumbled upon biblical discipleship and says, well, I don't know how I got here. No, there's been because there's been some steps that have taken place. They've trusted Christ as their personal Savior. They followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. They joined a local New Testament church and they're doing everything they can to follow the Word of God. And they become biblical disciples by becoming more and more like Christ. You cannot just stumble into it, if you will. There's conscious preparation. So tonight I'm going to mention many things that will help us, and it's my hope and prayer that this will be a blessing to all of us and that we will see that we are personally responsible for becoming biblical disciples. I'm responsible for myself becoming a biblical disciple, and you're responsible for yourself becoming a biblical disciple. If we truly desire to be used by God in this area of discipleship, understand that we must yield to the unconscious preparation, but also to the conscious preparation as well. And these decisions that we make are more important. Understand this, they're more important than the days that we live. Think about it. A short life lived with right decisions will have more of an impact than a long life filled with wrong decisions. Each and every one of us need to understand that because every single day we are faced with decisions. And those decisions are either going to move us closer to God or they're going to pull us further from God. Which decision are we going to make? So we can be consciously preparing to be a disciple of Christ by doing the proper things through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what are some things that we can do? Well, first of all, notice there, we can love the Lord above all else. There is not one person who can be a biblical disciple if God is not first in your life. Look at John chapter 14 and verse 23. John chapter 14 and verse 23. Everything starts with our view of God. John 14 and verse 23. Notice what the Bible says here. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now, as we've been discussing this topic of biblical discipleship, we've discussed the fact that just because a person is saved does not mean that they are a disciple of Christ. However, a person cannot be a disciple of Christ without first trusting Christ as their Savior. There must be a decision there. And notice we see in John 14, 23, if a man love me, notice, he will keep my words. How do we draw closer to the Lord? By keeping his word. By knowing what the Bible says, applying that truth to our lives, and that's going to, in turn, draw us closer to the Lord. So if we love the Lord, then we will keep the words of the Lord. And then notice there what it says will happen. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. That word abode means this. It means a stay. It means a residence. It also means a mansion. Amen. But it says here that if we do those things, then he will come to stay. Of course, a person trusts Christ as their personal Savior. They are immediately indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us, and praise the Lord for that. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, but we need to keep the words of God in order to be a disciple of Christ. There must be that decision. Notice, it says, we will come unto him. If a man love me, he will keep my word. You know, not once ever has the Lord forced someone to get saved. Not one time. Not one time has the Lord forced someone to become a disciple of his. No, it's a choice that we must make. If the Lord forced someone to get saved, then why would the Lord say, well, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why would you have to do that if he was going to force certain ones to get saved and other ones not to? That's why the Calvinistic doctrine is so dangerous, because they say, well, God pre-chose these people to get saved, so no matter what happens, they're going to get saved, and these people are not going to. Well, you'd have to do quite a few gymnastics in the Word of God. You'd have to do something with the word whosoever, amen, because it doesn't say whosoever of the elect. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a personal choice to trust Christ as our personal Savior. God does not force that. It's something that we must do. Look at 1 John chapter 4, if you will. 1 John chapter 4. This is a passage that many can probably quote. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7 and 8. And notice what it says about love here. Now, we must love the Lord above all else. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Now we see quite a few words repeated there. We see the word God repeated a few times. We see the word love repeated a few times. We see the word knoweth repeated a couple times. The word loveth there. You see, anyone who loves God, notice they're going to love others as well. But it starts out with loving God. It says, beloved, let us love one another. This world that we live in, understand, they are all about loving people. And it's a great thing to love people. We should be loving people with the love of Christ. But the truth is this, world is trying to love people with the love of man. It's not going to work. It has to be founded on Christ. Our love for the Lord must be above all else. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. We must love others because of our love for God. You know, there's people and even believers who, by the words that they say or the way that they act, some things that they do, whatever, they show that they do not love people. If you were to ask them if they love people, they would probably say that they do, but through their conversation and things like that, they do not portray the love of God. Anyone who thinks that someone is too far gone to be saved, understand this. If you think they're too far gone to be saved, you are not loving them with the love of Christ. Because Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's every single one of us. None of us are too far gone to be saved. Anyone can trust Christ as their Savior. Someone who thinks that the Lord cannot work through or in a certain person, understand they do not love the Lord above all else, because anyone who thinks that the Lord cannot or does not love someone as much as he loves them, they're self-righteous and need a good dose of humility. Amen. I've told the story many times about a man who trusted, who said that he trusted Christ as his Savior. And he told me, preacher, the Lord just doesn't save people like he used to. What was going wrong there? It wasn't that the Lord had changed. It's that the person was self-righteous. Somewhere in the person's mind, they convinced themselves that God was willing to save them back then when they got saved many years ago, but is unwilling to save people that way now. Lord, help us. That person needs the love of the Lord to be above all else. Who did the Lord come to save? That which was lost. Some may say things like, well, look what they're doing. How can God bless that? And I understand in our flesh sometimes we're wondering, Lord, how are you going to work through this situation? But understand this, let's let the Lord work that out. Let's let the Lord just work his will. Let's allow the Lord to work in our own lives. And then maybe he can use us to be a blessing in that other situation as well. So first of all, love the Lord above all else. Notice secondly here what we should do. Consistently read and study the Word of God. Consistently read and study the Word of God. Now, we do that for a few reasons. We've got the letters there, A, B, and C underneath there. We've got three reasons that we're going to discuss tonight. There's many reasons why we should read and study the Word of God. We're going to discuss three of those tonight, and these will help us, Lord willing, to become biblical disciples. So consistently read and study the Word of God. First of all, we do it for this reason, to know God himself. To know God himself. Look at the book of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. Notice the Lord was speaking here in verse 25 and 26, and in verse 27, it tells us what he was doing in that message that he was just preaching. Verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Church, we need to learn about God. We need the knowledge of God. There are billions upon billions, if not trillions of dollars every year spent on secular education. Now, I'm not against secular education. We need people to learn, and I think college is a great thing, but the main source of knowledge for the believer should be the Word of God. We should be learning about God, learn about God and himself. There's nothing more important, understand this, in the conscious preparation of biblical disciples, there's nothing more important than knowing God and knowing about him. The more we know about God, the more we know about the sinful condition of man, and in turn, the more we know about God, the more we know about how we should yield to his will. How do we know about God? By reading his word. Study to show thyself approved. Thy word have I hid in my heart. All throughout the word of God, we see that we are reading God's word. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why is that important? Why is Psalm 119? Why is there that whole chapter that's given to what the word of God is and how it helps us in all of those things? Because it teaches us about about God himself. It teaches us about who God is, and it teaches about what God has done and what God's going to do and what God desires to do through us. It helps us in all of those things. We need to know God himself. Another reason to consistently read and study the Word of God is this: to know more about events and people in the Bible. That's important. There are many passages that we go to oftentimes, and I will say things like this, a very familiar passage in the Bible and all of that. But if we're not careful with our minds, many times we will look at the Bible, though we know it's God's inspired word. Many times we'll look at the Bible and we'll see those accounts in Scripture, and our mind will think of them in more of a fairy tale rather than a true life account. We need to fall in love with the Word of God. Understand, this is not things that are made up. Everything here is true. And we need to learn about these events, learn about these people that it talks about, and because it's all there for a reason. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, notice verse 29. Matthew 22, 29, the Bible says this, Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God. Why were they erring? Because they didn't know the Scriptures. You want to get away from error? Know the Scriptures. It's that simple. You know, it makes me chuckle on the inside when someone tells me, well, the Bible's just so hard to read. Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures. It's pretty simple, amen? The Bible is not a hard book to read. We just need to read it. Something we should strive to do is study the Bible, get to know about these people, about these events that took place. Why is that important? Because seeing the way that God worked in the past consistently, it will help us to have faith to know that He can and do and will do that in our lives as well. Think about David. David was a young man that had the courage to stand alone against the largest man that he had ever seen. This giant should have been able to kill David. This giant had a spear that probably weighed half the weight of David at that time. It was a huge spear in this shield. And David should have stood no chance against this man. The truth of the matter is, God used the faith of David to slay that giant. And there's giants in our lives that we're going to face as well. But many times we look at the story of David and we will teach it to children. That's a great thing to do. We should do that. But if we're not careful with ourselves, we will look at it as a children's story rather than saying that, wait a second, I'm facing a giant right now, whatever this giant may be. And if the Lord helped David defeat that giant, which he did, then I can have faith that God's going to help me defeat my giant as well. You see, it all ties in to following the Lord, to being a biblical disciple. We can stand up courageously. We can say, Lord, I know you helped David through that battle, and you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know you can help me today. What about the disciples as they were in the midst of the storm and the Lord was asleep in the boat? They were scared, weren't they? They were terrified. And they cried out, Lord, we perish. In our words, we would have said this, why are you sleeping? We're in the midst of a storm right now. Can't you feel the boat going back and forth? These waves, or they seem as though they're going to capsize this boat. What are you doing? We're going to die. Many times, spiritually speaking, emotionally speaking, mentally speaking, sometimes we're in storms, aren't we? We don't know what's going to happen. The devil can get a hold of our mind and do all kinds of things with our mind. But understand this, even though sometimes a storm comes, sometimes it's in the form of a health crisis, a financial difficulty, maybe a wayward child, maybe a wayward spouse, maybe a decision that needs to be made, and we know it's going to be hard to make it. Sometimes we're in the midst of the storm, and we think, we feel like it's going to be the end. We can cry out to the Lord, and He will do the exact same thing in our storm that He did in the storm with the disciples. Peace be still. And you, as a child of God, can have peace through that storm. The disciples, though they were in that storm, they forgot that someone was in the boat, amen? Many times we're going through storms in our lives. We need to remember who's in the boat. We need to remember that God's in charge. Let's follow Him. Maybe you're here tonight, you're in the midst of a storm. Understand that He is still God today, and He can still say, peace be still. How do we know that? By reading and studying the Word of God. by reading those accounts in Scripture that are so powerful. And then notice letter C there as well, not only to know more about the events and people in the Bible, but letter C, notice this, to know doctrine. That's important. Doctrine is important. Why we believe and what we believe is very, very important. Look at the book of Colossians chapter 2, if you will. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. And then we're going to jump over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says this, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." What's he telling them to be careful of? Someone that comes in and offers you a false doctrine. Someone that comes in and offers you something that's contrary to the Word of God. If somebody comes in and they try to convince you that a person can lose their salvation, understand they are not offering you what the Bible says. They're offering you a perversion of the Bible. No one can lose their salvation. When we trust Christ as our personal Savior, we are safe and secure in the hand of God. And the Bible declares that we have eternal life. It's a current possession of ours. There's many things that people will try to convince us of. We need to know our doctrine, know what we believe, know why we believe it. And it should never be because that's what my church believes. No. Because that's what the Bible says. Let's know these things. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says this, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." I want you to look back at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. I want you to notice, verse 10, then we'll jump down to verse 14. Verse 10 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Now, this was not the doctrine of Paul here. No, it's the doctrine that Paul believed. It was the doctrine that he got from God himself. This is the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's telling young Timothy here, "You have fully known my doctrine. I've taught you everything that I know about God and his word." And he says, "Also my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience." And he goes on through there. And then look at verse 14. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." And he goes on down to verse 16 and says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Everything that we read is profitable for us. We need to know the Word of God. Know our doctrine. If we are to be biblical disciples, we must know what we believe and know why we believe it. We must stand strong. We must not be blown about by every wind of doctrine. And I can guarantee you the wolves in sheep's clothing are going to come. They absolutely are. Why do we have preaching and teaching? It's not because it's just a good thing to do. It's because we need it. All of us need it. We need the Word of God declared in our ears. We need the preaching and teaching of God's Word. Look over at the book of Mark, if you will, chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 22. We need the Word of God more today than we ever have. This world's not getting better. The world's getting worse. Mark chapter 1 and verse 22. Notice what the Bible says, "And they were astonished at his doctrine." They were astonished at it. "For he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes." We are not to go into a place and try to get people astonished by the things that we know. We're not to go into a place and try to have people, "Hey, look at me, here's what I know." No, we need to go into a place and say, "Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about what the Lord's done for me." Because it's not our doctrine that astonishes people. It's the doctrine of Christ. It says they were astonished at his doctrine. The preaching of God's word is not designed to just be some little chat that many churches have today. Thinking of a church in my mind right now, a man that stood for truth and a man that years ago would have never gone for that, but now in the church that he pastors, their Wednesday night service is now a Wednesday night chat with the pastor. Lord, help us. What's went wrong? At some point, someone's fell out of love with God. At some point, someone's fell out of love with God's word. We need the preaching of God's word. The word of God, we cannot allow it to be watered down by watering down the delivery of God's word. The word of God is to go forth with power. So to be consciously prepared for biblical discipleship, notice, we're to love the Lord above all else. Then we are also to read and study God's word. Notice number three. Notice we are to acknowledge and submit to God's plan for the local church. Acknowledge and submit to God's plan for the local church. You know, God has a plan in this world. We just got to follow it. Amen. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, the Bible says this, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Every one of us need to submit to God's plan, submit to God's will in our life. If we are going to be biblical disciples, we can't allow ourselves to call the shots. It's what God wants us to do. Whatever He wants, that's what we're going to do. Notice letter A there. And notice we need to know that the church is founded on Christ. It is founded on Christ. There in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, the Bible says this, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." First, the Lord's talking about Himself there, saying He's going to build the church upon Himself. And that is the first mention of the church there. And He says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We need to know that the church is founded on Christ. Apart from popular belief in a lot of places, the church is not built on or reliant on pastors or any other leadership of the church. It's not. It's built on Christ. It's relying on Christ. We are to follow the Lord because it's His church. It's what God wants us to do. We are to follow the Lord and follow His plan. It's built on Christ. It's built by Christ. And it's built in the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to acknowledge that and submit to God's plan. Then also, letter B there, not only is it founded on Christ, but God appoints human leadership as well. When a person starts a business, it's something that's not hard to understand, but a person starts a business, that person is in charge of that business. And even if they appoint managers and staff and things like that, what the owner wants done, guess what? That's what's being done. It's just what's going to happen. Doesn't matter what complaints come. The owner and the founder sets the standard. I remember when I was at Chick-fil-A and somebody would come in, "I don't like this uniform." I'll say, "Well, that's the uniform. Amen. It's just what we have to wear. It's just what we do. Well, these uniform shoes hurt my feet." Well, get some insoles, I guess. I don't think we need to cook this for this long. Well, you didn't make the recipe. Amen. It was they set the standard. Well, when it comes to our life, God sets the standard. It doesn't matter how we feel or, "Well, I just don't think I have to do that." No, God sets the standard and God appoints a leadership, and the leadership should be following the standard that God has set forward. We understand that in the workplace, but many times it's hard for us to follow that in the spiritual space. The church is God's. It belongs to God. It follows God's plan. We are to follow the Lord. The Lord's given us a clear plan for the church, and we are to follow that plan. And praise the Lord, we have the playbook. Amen. This is what God has given us. What a mess we would be in if God said, "Okay, I have a will for you to do. I have a way that I want you to live, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you on this place called earth, and I want you to figure it out by yourself." Well, we'd be in some trouble, wouldn't we? We'd be in a lot of trouble. Praise the Lord, He didn't do that to us. No, he gave us his word. The leadership, of course, with the pastor the Lord appoints, and we are to follow the Lord in his will. It's clear, it's simple. Yet many times believers have trouble with following the Lord. Many churches are in ruin today simply because they got away from following God. Simply because it became more about drawing a crowd than pleasing the Lord. Lord, help us. The Lord's plan is to follow Him and to follow what His Word says about the church. In order to be biblical disciples, we must follow the Lord's plan. We must follow the Lord's leadership in the church. And also, notice letter C there, we must be a soul winner. It is impossible to be a biblical disciple if we are not striving to win souls. The Bible says this, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." I have heard from many different ones throughout the years that have said things like this, "Well, soul winning is just not my personality." I say, well, it's something we're all commanded to do. It's something that the Lord has told us all to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And I'll say that that truth that I've mentioned many times, that word ye, it means this, to all who hear these words. This is what you're to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. It's impossible to be a disciple of Christ if we do not personally strive to give out the gospel. And though it's a great thing to go out as a group, I have a wonderful time going out on Saturdays as a group, and we get lots of memories made. We'll say that, amen. Different things happen, and we'll laugh about them and all of that. But we go out, we have a great time. It's a good thing. But understand this, if Saturday is the only time we're a witness, we're not a biblical disciple. We're not. Is it good to go out as a group? Yes, it is. But being a soul winner cannot be confined to one day of the week. Being a soul winner cannot be confined to just one thing. It is to be a lifestyle. It's to be a way of life. We have, of course, people here with different career paths and all that. I'll pick on Brother Sean here for just a moment. Brother Sean, you're a pharmacist, right? He's the man that's going to help you out when you get your prescription. Okay? Now, the place that Brother Sean works with, of course, they give him his schedule. This is what you work. Now, what if Brother Sean took the job and he's been there for many years now? And what if he went to them one day and said, "Hey, I still want to be a pharmacist here, but I'm only working Tuesdays from 9 to 5. That's it." What are they going to say? "Hit the road, Jack." That's what they're going to say. Why? Because that's not what he was put there for. He has a schedule. He's to follow that schedule because that's what the employer said. Now, we would all say, well, yeah, if that's what they agreed to, then of course that's the schedule that they have to work and all of those things. Why do we see it any different when the Lord told every believer to go into all the world and preach the gospel? Why do we think that we get to choose when we're a soul winner? We don't get to choose, except for all the time. Amen? Let's always be soul winners. Every single one of us, there are expectations in a workplace. There's expectations when it comes to being a biblical disciple. Well, I want to be a biblical disciple, but I don't want to do that. Then you can't be a biblical disciple. That's the cold, hard truth about it. You see, biblical discipleship is a choice to follow the Lord. Let me give you some statistics here. The state of Pennsylvania has almost 13 million people in it. Pennsylvania. If we were to reach every person in Pennsylvania with the gospel over the next 50 years, this group that we have, now I don't know the exact number here, but if we have 25 people that are going to reach the entire state of Pennsylvania over the next 50 years, we would have to reach 260,000 people a year. 260,000. That means this group of people would have to reach 712 people a day. Think about that. That's each and every person telling 25 people themselves a day about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Staggering numbers, isn't it? And that's just the state of Pennsylvania. That wouldn't get us any further than that. We're called to be soul winners. Biblical disciples are going to be soul winners. You know, the U.S. has almost 335 million people in it. Lord help us if we think for one second that we're doing okay by just going out and being a witness on Saturday mornings. Now let's continue to be a witness on Saturdays. Continue to be a witness every day. Know that God's plan for the church is that it's founded upon Christ and we follow God's appointed leadership. We must be soul winners. And then lastly here, and very quickly, notice this, we must train others. It's impossible for the work of God to get done if we do not train others. Not because there's any power in and of ourselves, but because training others is what God has commanded us to do. There in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, the Bible says this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." We are told to do these things. I think all of us would agree that if we looked at young Timothy, if we were to say that, if I was to ask, was young Timothy a disciple of Christ? We would say yes. To the best of our knowledge, he was following the Lord and just the things that was said about him. He had trusted Christ as his Savior. He's following the Lord and he's pastoring this church here. We would say that the Apostle Paul was a disciple of Christ. And we could go on and on and on about through these men and women that were disciples of Christ. What do we see them doing? Leading people to Christ and teaching them to observe all things. That's what biblical disciples did in the Bible. If we are to be disciples of Christ, we must consciously be doing these things that we've discussed thus far, but we cannot stop there. We are called to commit these things to others, to keep His doctrine in the minds of people, to train them, to teach them in the Word of God. We need all the help that we can get. Amen. Let's be reaching others for Christ. Let's be recruiting people for the cause of Christ. What a wonderful thing it would be to see the Lord just saving souls and people getting baptized and joining the church and people going out from here, planting churches, going to foreign mission fields and all of those things, but it's not going to happen if we don't become biblical disciples, because that's how the Lord works through His church. That's the conscious preparation. So if at any time we think, well, I'm doing all I can to be a biblical disciple, go back to this list, because speaking for myself, there's some things on this list that I need help with, things on this list that I need to sharpen in on, that I need to do better in order to be a biblical disciple. Church, the Lord wants to work. He wants to do a great work through us. But we must commit to being biblical disciples and doing our part in being consciously prepared. Amen.